that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
And good morning. Once again, it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this 22nd day of October. Beautiful morning out here in Wyoming. We hope you're tuning in with us all over, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Join us here. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. We'll be right back after this song.
Amen.
That old wheel, is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That's just what happens. That old wheel does roll around again, and before you know it, here we are, Saturday morning, having coffee, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Well, good morning to you out there, and good morning to the Ramrod. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And good morning to charismatic, smiling Cowboy Kyle. How are you this morning, sir, Kyle?
Good, thanks. It's a great morning.
Good. It is. And you got Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you here. We gave Jason the weekend off. He's got some few things he needed to take care of this morning. So we told him that, as good and faithful as he's been, being here almost every Saturday morning, as we all try to be, that he gets to take care of what he's got to take care of, and we'll just go from there. Well, Kyle, would you open us up with prayer this morning, and then we'll open up the phone lines and see who's out there with us this morning.
Gladly. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. We ask for your guidance, your Holy Spirit guidance, Lord, to lead us and direct us in our thought, in our word. And we ask you to be with all your saints out there, Lord, and just comfort them in these troubled times. And we ask you to just be with them and watch over them and their families. And as we hasten the day of the Lord, as we hasten that day that you come back, and you restore the kingdom, Lord. As in the prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, how we are to wait for that kingdom to come.
Yes.
And not only wait, but act, you know, and restore that kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And we come to you this morning, and I know there's a lot of people hurting out there, physically and mentally, and we ask for you to be with them and touch them, Lord, and give them that peace, that comfort, your Holy Spirit. And we ask for all those that are yours to not be troubled in mind, but to have a good conscience and a good spirit about them as they walk, their daily life. And we ask for you also to come against those that hate you, Lord, and hate Christians, Lord, that they don't make our walk too tough.
Yes.
We ask this in your blessed holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Kyle, and we will open up the phone lines this morning. Just to let you know, we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and I'm sitting at the pastor's old desk, John, and you know he's got a window here that opens up to the horse corrals, and it faces due east. And
yeah.
The day is just beginning to start. The sun hasn't even come up yet. It is just got a few clouds in the sky, but it looks like it's just going to be a beautiful day. And you know, we have had, the weather that we've had out here has been almost unseasonably warm. We've been in the mid-60s during the day, and barely, we've had some good frost, and we've had a little bit of snow, a couple inches, and we had 5 inches one day, but it was gone within a couple days. And you know, we've just had this summer was the summer of summers, so to speak, at least in our lives.
Yeah.
But I think God is just, being that we are under snow and under wind and cold weather for so long, I think he's just, at least the way I see it, showing his graciousness and his mercy and his loving kindness and saying, I'll give you a few more weeks. And he has. He's given us time to be able to bring the few cows we have in. He's had time. He's given us good weather and good time to be able to take care of them and do what we have to do with them to get them ready for winter. And he's just blessed us all the way around. He truly has.
Amen. Yeah, I think God in his grace and mercy gave us all these trials this summer just to say, look, boys, if you're going to be standing in the gap for this prophet, you're going to have to toughen up. So we got a dose of just a minor bit of what our pastor went through.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, Kyle, what you mentioned earlier in your prayer about, you know that there are people hurting out there. There are. There are. We got a report this week. We've got a family that's on the ministry down in one of those southwestern states that's come under attack from the government and alphabet soup, whatever you want to call it, that they represent. And we sent a prayer out for that this week on the prayer chain, and we continue to stand and pray for that family. I know there's a family just up in the Northwest that, a couple families have come into conflict with each other that are on the ministry. And sometimes those things happen. We've talked before you've heard from this radio microphone and from the pastor's pulpit that even the Bible itself says divisions must come.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes there's pruning. We've talked about that. Well, you know, sometimes it's just that, we want to run our cattle on the well, and somebody else wants to run their cattle on the well, and
Hatfields and McCoys.
That's right, and it just doesn't work out. Sometimes that happens. But
yeah, I think go ahead, John. I think one of the greatest gifts the Holy Spirit bestowed upon us through our pastor was learning the truths about being able to bind our enemies and to loose the Holy Spirit on those situations. And all I can say is, if you're not praying the Lord's Prayer and full armor of God and binding your enemies and praying for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you and grant you wisdom, then don't be surprised if you are dealing with something like that.
Right. Absolutely.
And definitely remember to put on that armor.
Yep.
That was another.
And on your family also.
Great teaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I was going to say, for some reason when I got up this morning, I was kind of planning on spending the day with my wife and having kind of a pretty good day, and I was thinking there's a lot of people that's getting up this morning, and for some reason it just hit me that they're not going to have such a good day, and I just kind of start feeling a little humble, you know. Think I've had quite a few of those days where I didn't want to crawl out of bed because I knew the day wasn't going to be that good, and I just kind of felt that there was a lot out there today that was going to be raised in that way, and
yeah,
just kind of humbling.
Yeah, but that goes back to another profound teaching that our pastor taught us, that never had a bad thing happen to him. And if you believe
that's
Romans
true.
8:28, then you got to say thank you, Lord, for all things.
That's
you
right.
know, the Bible says that you will suffer persecution if you decide to live godly. So praise the Lord that he gives us those tests and trials, because it means he loves us.
That's right. And how do we prove that we love him? You know, we just say, God, we love you, and that's it. Anybody got that? Anybody give me the scripture verse where it says to do that? And that's enough. But, you know, and there again, John, you're right, while we're on talking about the pastor, you know, he'd say, well, hold right here, let me flip right over here, and I am just not there. Absolutely.
I'll read it in a little verse there.
Go ahead, Kyle.
I'm in chapter 5 of 1 John, in verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Absolutely.
And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
So, amen. Amen.
So it's not just you wake up and say, I love you, God, and that's it.
Right.
You know, we've got to keep his commandments, you know, and that faith in those commandments, in what he tells us to do, that's what helps us overcome the world.
Yeah, James
has
a good one. James has a good verse, too, in 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen. You know? And you know, folks, that's one of the reasons that we get together on Saturday morning and pour us a cup of coffee, and we'll open up the phone lines. But that's one of the reasons that we get out here and do that, is to share the Word of God with you. Just, you know, man to man. And, oh, we've had, even though it's coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we've had a Wranglerette or two out here, and I got to tell you guys, my brother-in-law and sister are out visiting right now, and they're on the ministry, and have enjoyed a week out here, so my sister's sitting in with us out here. So we'll call her an honorary Wranglerette, because yesterday, I have to tell you, we had to sort the steers off from the heifers, Once I got that explained to her pretty good, she got right out in the corral with us and helped us sort them down the alleyway and off and back. And so, but anyway, so we just say good morning, Donna. Thanks for joining us out here. But to you out there that are listening in, again, what we try to do to get together on Saturday morning is, you know, sometimes we're on current events, sometimes we're talking about what the government's doing, or what, you know, the earthquakes, what God's trying to tell us through that, and sometimes I think it's just, you know, we just want to share the Word of God with you at times, and these two verses that these two men read, especially this, you know, in 1 John 5, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and those commandments are not burdensome. You know, John 3:16 is true, for God so loved the world. What is not true, as presented by the Judeo-Christian pastors there, is that that's an unconditional love. And so, you know, what we try to do is just share the Word with you, encourage you out there, listeners, to open your Bible, to read your Bible, underline it, highlight it. You don't have to sit down and read the whole thing, but, you know, that
doesn't hurt to do that either.
That's right. But that's communing with God. That is, you know, the opportunity that we have today to be able to do this, you know, has not been offered to all the people, you know, throughout history. And what a privilege that we have. And, you know, we'll stand before God on Judgment Day one day, and we'll answer for what we did and for what we didn't do. And so many times, Kyle, again, like you prayed this morning, you know, you know that people are hurting out there, that people are getting up this morning, and they're not looking forward to the day, maybe as you did, or as you are, you know. And it's a shame that it's that way. And it's because the people have just, you know, we as a people, and so I'm not pointing my finger at anybody other than just at the mirror and talking to everybody. That's exactly, you know, where we're at as a people. We read this in Sunday school here a month or two ago. It's Hosea 10. And it says, Israel is a luxuriant vine. And the luxuriant there, you know, you think what we talked about in Sunday school, if you remember it, guys, you know, we said, what's luxuriant? You know, you think of maybe a Lexus or something, you know, luxuriant over and above and beyond what's really needed.
Yeah.
You know how the King James defines it? Degenerate.
Wow.
Degenerate. And so to read it that way, it says Israel, meaning us. You know, the remnant, the scattered. Israel is a degenerate vine. He produces fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he made. And those are not altars to God. The richer his land, the better he made the sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. And I know when I read that, it was just to describe Israel, how the word talks about Israel being the vine. But that verse has spoke to me several times since then. And it, I think it just describes how his people, how we are today. We've just, you know, look at the blessings we've had as a people in this nation. And we just grow fat and kick and just want more and more and more.
Yeah, but our enemies have done that to us too. We used to be a society of needs, and they converted us into a society of wants. And that's done more to destroy this country than people realize.
It is.
I think it was Freud, one of Freud's, one of the Acres of Diamond men sent me a series of YouTube videos that kind of explained how they got women to smoke just by bringing on all these debutantes that were popular to the younger generation. And all of a sudden, they just whipped out a cigarette and started smoking. Next thing you know, it's the coolest thing to do is to smoke. So our enemy plays chess, and we play checkers, and we got to remember that. We got to get a little smarter and start trying to think 2-3 moves ahead like they do.
Amen. And the way to do that is to open the Bible.
Amen.
And to read. Because then you can read back in Isaiah and Jeremiah where that happened then. You can read back in Kings and early in the Old Testament, you know, read of King David and the things that he went through. And,
yeah.
You know, he was a precursor to Christ. He was a foreshadowing of Christ and the things that he went through. But, you know, read about King David and see. And if you do that, you will see how the things that he went through more than likely are things that you've gone through.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I've done since our pastor passed away was went out and got a Bible highlighter.
Yes.
And as I read through the scriptures, I'll try to read it, you know, a chapter or half a chapter, whatever, at night, try to do as much as I can to get through the Bible. I'll reread stuff that I don't understand, but a lot of this just pops into your head that I can hear our pastor saying it, and then I highlight it because I know it's something that he thought was important, you know?
Yes. Haven't you noticed, man, I'll put this out because I'll say that I have, but haven't you noticed that the word has different meaning now than before this summer when you read it? Do you not get more out of it?
Yeah, because we have more of a responsibility than we did before. Is what I think. I think our pastor knew that too. That it's time for you men to step up.
Yeah,
that's basically it. You go through life and things happen, and it's kind of like a slap on the face. Wake up, you know.
Yeah,
and you know that all happened to us. We all got slapped in the face and shook, and you know it's time to wake up. You know.
Yeah,
get a little more serious.
I had the opportunity yesterday morning, needed to get started on this project early, met my student hourly and ready to get to work, and a couple of
couple of men that I hadn't seen in years that work different departments there at where I work, and come in, and I had the chance to basically witness to them, and I got to talking to them, and I said, "Hey, Bob, how are you?" He says, "I'm doing great," and I says, "That's great." You know, we started talking about being a Christian, and I said, "You know, I'm really proud of you," and he says, "Why?" And I says, "I know you lost a 10-year-old son to muscular dystrophy, and it wasn't a pretty ride through that." And he says, "You know, that sure, at times I got mad at God, but actually, he was my baby Jesus, you know, that his son." And he says, "He's done more to bring me to Christ, because I know the only way I'm going to see him again is to be faithful." And then we got to talking about baptism and how our enemy's done everything they can to keep us from immersion. And I said, "Well, how do you think you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life?" And he thought about it, and he says, "I don't know." And I says, "Well, it's when you die to your sins, you're born again, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which unlocks the truths in the Bible, and then that's how you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life." And he was really taking it in. So, but long story short, an hour and a half later, I went to work.
That's good.
Yep. And you know, we have to, we again do our best to try to encourage you listeners out there to do that very thing. You know, I just opened up my Bible, the second letter of Paul that Paul wrote to Timothy, and in 1:8 it says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And so when you get the opportunity, it may be an opportunity just like that, you know. If you get the opportunity, don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. You know, you don't have to be a smooth talker. You don't have to know where every verse and have the Bible memorized, you know, but
it
does help. That absolutely. And you know, we've got these Bible bookmarkers out that we're continuing on with those. We have several more planned, you know, that we put out for with the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God and different prayers and stuff on there, and the prayer amplifier and the prayer filter, and we're working on those. We've been doing this in our local Sunday school, where we're working on just putting a few more of these together to assist you out there, you know, some bullet points on baptism, you know, some of the verses that show the importance of that. And then we have several planned for the future, you know, some showing just several of the scripture verses that show the deity of Christ, for example, and other things like that. And so, but do that. Do as Paul wrote to Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. If you get an opportunity to share the good news, because in these bad days, his people need good news. You know, that the good news of the gospel is needed more today than it's ever been needed.
Amen. Wouldn't want to live in today's world without being a Christian, that's for sure.
No. No. Well, Kyle, got to keep you awake out there. What is going on in the wide world of the wide world out there? Have you noticed anything of extreme interest this week?
Not really. There's the same old. Drove through Fort Collins a couple times, but, you know, you got the little
protest.
What do you call that? Yeah, the protest. What is that in Washington? What is that on Wall
Occupy
Street?
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah,
Occupy Wall Street.
You have to occupy Occupy Fort Collins, I guess.
Yeah,
but you can tell when you're driving by them that they really don't have a clue what they're doing there. You know,
right now.
They look just a step above your average bum. I think all they want is handouts. You know, I mean,
exactly.
And for some reason, they want to steal from the rich. You know, because they all hate the rich. You know, instead of thinking, you know, that, you know, there might be we might need a few rich people around to hire some of the poor people to work. They don't think that way. You know, they would rather everybody be poor and just take money from the government.
Right.
And you know, not that I'm saying that rich people are good people. I'm just saying, you know, you kind of need people to be able to hire other people. And if we're all poor, nobody's going to be hiring anybody to work, you know. So they kind of got a weird philosophy. But if you look at them, you know, most of them are white, Caucasian people. You know, I don't know if they're Anglo-Saxons or Canaanites. I haven't been able to pinpoint all them yet, but they really do. They look like they're just a step above a bum.
All you got to know that is if our president and Nancy Pelosi endorse it, then there's something wrong with it.
You got that right.
Yep. Anyway, that's all I see going on out there, you know, other than what Gaddafi, they supposedly killed Gaddafi this week. You know, so
yeah, Russia and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, you know, we're not at war. I don't understand what crimes this guy did that would cause our country to just go and basically assassinate him.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. You know, I don't remember, you know, our country just doing that, just going out and killing people just because, you know, without giving a reason. But they sure bombed the living snot out of him and killed him dead as a rock. And pat each other on the back and go out for a beer and congratulate each other.
Stole all his gold.
Yeah. And so I, you know, because...
And, you know, and the ones they're putting in charge are called the rebels, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but the rebellion party, to me, sounds like it might be not too good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're walking down the streets with guns and, you know, they don't look any different than Gaddafi and his soldiers look, other than, you know, their uniform might be a little bit different color.
Yep.
You know, and nobody knows what they stand for, what kind of people they are. You know, they might all be little individual Gaddafis, but nobody cares. You know, they just want that guy dead that the news is telling you is evil.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for them.
And he was bad. So I'm just, you know... I mean, does anybody know why? I don't know what he was so bad at.
Well, supposedly he persecuted and killed so many of his own people, but, you know, you can't believe anything that our government tells us.
So we bomb him.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, but what about China? I mean, you know, China, I mean, they eat babies over there in China.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
But they're our partners, so they've made a lot of... wealthy businessmen, wealthier. Yeah, unfortunately, we got to get back to, I mean, there's no way back except for 2 Chronicles 7:14, in my opinion. So that's what I tell people, and they're like, well, what do you mean? He says, well, what do you think about this candidate, that candidate? And then they present Cain, and it's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you ever read the Bible?
You know, John, we went over and picked up a few square bales of hay here from a neighbor. As fine a man as there is out here. You know, Judeo-Christian and give you the shirt off your back if needed to and if needed be. That's, you know, one of the things he said, well, you know, Cain, he says he'll get rid of the EPA and that'll help us here, you know, with ranching and whatnot. And I didn't say anything. I'll confess my sin to you. You know, I guess it just wasn't the time or something. But
well, I did. I said, did you ever read the Bible? He goes, oh, well, that don't mean nothing.
Yeah,
I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We had Son of Cain, now we got Cain.
Yeah.
You don't get the message?
Yeah. So
see how dumb you guys are. That's what God's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Take another lap around Mount Sinai.
Yeah, this Babylon is not going to get fixed. It's just as simple as that. You know, it's... you know, you go back and read Isaiah and Jeremiah, you know, Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem then, wasn't going to get fixed, you know, because it wasn't broken, you know, with things that man could fix.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the economy or just the environment or just the politics, you know.
Right.
When we can understand that the reason these things have come upon us are the same, just the same, but I guess, but the opposite reasons. Well, we didn't have them in the early years that this country was founded. You know, when this country was founded, it was founded on Christian principles, not Judeo-Christian principles, because the Judeo part denied Jesus Christ. Judaism does. You have to remember that, people. We hear so much about the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Judeo-Christian ethic. This country was not formed on a Judeo-Christian ethic. It was formed on a Christian ethic that believed and based... That did just like we read earlier, that said to love God is to obey his commandments. And what are the two greatest? Love God and love your neighbor.
No king but King Jesus.
Right, and that's how the nation was founded, and that is when the nation was blessed. And so, you know, when you mix into that, when you have a society and a country and a people that have basically their civil government and everything they do based on Christianity, which is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you mix in there the Judeo part, and the Judeo part denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what do you think happens? You know,
yeah.
Pretty soon you have a Judeo-Christian society, a society based on, you know, one part that denies Jesus Christ, one part that claims Jesus Christ, and before you know it, you've got that double-mindedness, and we're nowhere. In our Volume 9 newsletter that is out, and we're working on Volume 10 already, and I wish we could say that we've got it printing, but not yet, but in the inside back cover of Volume 9, Volume 9 was titled 9/11, 10 years later, but on the inside back cover, we ran another ad for the pastor's book, America the Conquered. And one of the things we put on there is, you know, the book that started it all. And it really, for the most part, was. It
yeah.
was first published in 1991. And when you
wow.
read and look through this, it is more, and we've said it before, and it's not just that we push a button and say it, but it's just the way it is. It is more relevant today, I think, than when it was. The
yeah.
time has come for people to see what the groundwork that has been being laid for America to be conquered.
Yeah. Listening to the sermon last week, I find myself listening extremely closely to the sermons, especially these ones from many years ago, and it's amazing that the things that our pastor talked about are exactly what's happened in this country.
Yeah.
And he had no forethought to that other than prophecy that Jesus Christ gave him to warn his people. So
yes, and that
I'm
that
encouraged.
The title has America gone to the dogs, and it was
yes.
You know, all those have been quite eye opening. You know, because you know as you go through life, you think you're in the worst generation. You think, how can it get worse than this, you know? Well, since 1987, it's got quite a bit worse. So they are more fitting now than they have ever been. John, you mentioned earlier Second Chronicles 7:14. Not everybody out there might not know what that says, so I think I'll read it here.
Okay.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will heal their land.
Yep.
And I always kind of put that together with 1 John 3:19-22. It says, and hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Anyway, I just thought I'd clear that up.
Yeah,
in case somebody didn't know what that was.
Thank you. Yeah.
And that is such a...
I got it memorized, but probably not verbatim. But you get the idea when you
right.
you tell people, and they're like, wow, you're right. So.
And again, if it's, you know, I forget, was it... I can't quote who it was, but, you know, we've used the quote before that you cannot enslave a Bible-reading people.
That's a fact.
You know, because you see that Jesus Christ, if you read your Bible, that he came to set the captives free, you know, and he can set individual captives free without it, and still have them in a captured nation. And if that's not where we are... you know, I talked on Thursday night a little bit, that, and I touched base that, and I don't have my notes here in front of me, but that, you know, we his people are slaves. We are either slaves to sin, or we're slaves to him and God and righteousness, one or the other.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how the Bible describes us. You know, we're his children, you know, and it goes that, yes, we're, and it talks about we're even more than slaves now, because we, you know, we are heirs of the promise. And we, you know, we've been raised up with the Son. And we, you know, if we believe in him and we do what his word says and we follow his word, then we too become children of God. But, you know, we are to be slaves. Guys, the phone's ringing. Let's see if they're just calling in to order a book, if they're calling in on the program.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in. You're on the radio live with Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, is this Kyle?
Well, this is Richard, but we've got Kyle and John on the line.
Oh, let me. No, that's all right. I wanted to speak of a few things real quick and not take a lot of your time. Let me turn down the radio.
Yeah, you got to turn that radio off or it'll start feeding back something awful.
I know.
And I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Bob.
Bob.
I'm in Kansas.
Good morning, Bob in Kansas.
I'm in bloody Kansas, bloody Kansas, the home of the late-term abortions. Anyway, are we on?
We are, Bob. I don't know if you still have your radio on. I'm getting a little bit of a reverb there, yeah. But you got to have that off.
I can't hear him too good.
Okay, you asked what Gaddafi did wrong. Well, he did a lot of things that were really wrong. He didn't force the women to wear masks. He didn't have property taxes or income taxes. And he was friendly to the black people. So what he really did wrong, though, was he went against the bankers' money and said he wanted to set up a separate inter-Arab African bank that would work to the benefit of the people over there. And immediately he got attacked. So there you go. That's what he did wrong. Hmm. Went against their filthy lucre.
Seems like he did kind of what Kennedy did here, huh? Don't mess with the money.
Right after Saddam Hussein turned down American money, said he wanted to start dealing with the euro or some other currency for his oil, he got attacked.
Wow.
You know, and something Gaddafi did do, Muslim or not, he spent 85% of all the income of that money on rebuilding up that country. It was fairly modern until we bombed it back in the Stone Age. And if you look at the pictures now, it's just sad.
Well, Bob, I never saw that on CNN. Wouldn't the CNN reporters tell me that Gaddafi was spending all this money on the infrastructure for his country and helping blacks and women? Wouldn't our media tell us that?
No, because they're satanic.
Just a little satire.
Here's another deal. The rebels are going around taking what's left of the black people in that country and stacking them up like cordwood dead. Hmm. And that's not being reported.
No.
No, haven't heard that.
Okay, now, another thing that's happened over here, I'm sure you've all heard about the North American Union.
Yeah.
You know, Mexico, America, all combining into one big conglomerate glob of crud.
Yes.
And, well, NORTHCOM is the military arm of that. Their new patch is a patch that shows the three countries, North America. It's orange. The oceans around it are UN blue. And they have a mosque in the middle of it, supposedly symbolizing our men fighting in North Africa back in World War II, but I really don't believe that talk either. But a mosque, that's a very foreboding image, isn't it?
Well, that ties in with the plan. You've heard the pastor in years past talk about that is one of the plans of the old New World Order, and that is to convert everyone to the brown man, the brown faceless man that stands in front of the United Nations.
Yeah.
And what religion do you think that brown man is? He's not a Christian.
No.
He's not a Christian.
No, it won't be true Christianity at all. And what really astounds me about all of this whole thing, and you know, we can go into the intricacies of idolatry and covetousness and everything that God doesn't want us to do, which, you know, he can't disagree with any of that or any of what Pastor said about the idolatry and living under captivity in Babylon and all that. I mean, he's just dead on it. But what I have a failure to understand, and I think we discussed this before, is they said no king but King Jesus, okay? They went through this horrible, prolonged, sacrificing war against the British. You know, brother killing brother, so to speak, just like the Civil War. Then immediately they erected images of Egypt and Babylon and Hinduism on our flag, our national seal, and our money, and our people bow, serve, sweat, die, and bleed under it from that day forward, how can any of these wars or any of these actions be justified in the eyes of God other than he is awfully merciful and probably hope we repent of these things, but we've degenerated into hell on earth practically now. And I just wondered why they let that go over their heads if they were so close to God and knew so much about the Bible. How did they let that go over their heads, Richard? Or any man out there that might have an answer?
Well, because as John said, our enemies play chess and we play checkers. And,
well,
you know, it didn't happen overnight after the Revolutionary War. You know, it took, what, 7 years, I think, for the Constitution to be ratified by the states that were there then. But
right.
The enemy was there, slowly, slowly sliding in there, you know, this little bit and that little bit. And our enemy always thinks that way. Those that deny Christ, they think more generationally than we do. And so when our men and our families and those type thing at that time were out cutting trees and building civilizations and doing that thing, doing those type things, then the enemies are like in the Wizard of Oz. You know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But the enemies are always behind the curtain. They're that unseen third party that are dealing and working with our people. We call them sons of hell, the enemies of God. But we have to remember that the Bible says that our people can become twofold more sons of hell. And if you read in Colossians 3, 3:5, it talks about greed, which amounts to idolatry. And that's really what our people
greed,
are in. So.
Greed, covetousness, all that stuff. But what I'm trying to point out spiritually here is that if they put those images up, like in the days of old, or the same as the images of the days of old, fairly much, without all the statues. Of course, we've got them on the courthouses and everything now, on the Capitol buildings. But it's the same as the days of old. Nothing changed. That puts up kind of like a shield between us and God, I think. And even with his mercy, it tends to deteriorate the population, eventually bringing them into the hell on earth that we're about to experience here real soon.
Yeah,
don't you think?
We absolutely, Bob. We don't.
Where were the
with
pastors?
You.
Where were the pastors? Even in this modern age, where are the pastors? I'm talking about through and through, wall to wall. Where are they? You talk to them about it. Oh, now we can't bring that up.
That's right.
My money. What would happen? You turn everything upside down. Well, I say turn it upside down and wipe the dish clean if need be.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's what God's going to do.
I'll let you guys go.
Thanks a lot,
pray
Bob.
About it. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, that leads me to a scripture too, Revelation 3:15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, that's the pastors we got in this country these days. At best.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, at best. At best.
But people are starting
to
realize.
You hear Bob. You hear Bob, and you can see that he's hot, you know.
Oh yeah.
And people don't like hot.
No.
You know, they want you to speak gentle, and you know, be kind all the time. You know, in the way you speak. You know, they hear somebody who's a little bit hot, and they all back away, and they say, "Oh, no, this ain't Christian. This isn't what we should be." You know, and all Bob's wanting, he's wanting those altars. You know, all those altars that men have raised up, you know, those idol worship altars. He wants those tore down. You know,
yeah.
He sees a problem in that, you know, where 99% of society don't see a problem in that. You know, they don't even recognize it, you know. They
right.
walk by them, they look at them, and it's no big deal to them. What's wrong with a statue? What's wrong with a flag? What's wrong with this? You know, I mean, where Bob has, you know, he might not have his eyes open on every issue, but on this issue he does, you know, and he's hot about it.
Yeah, well, you can bet he's a baptized believer, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and now sees the truth. So,
in Romans 9, it says, in Romans 9:33, they stumbled over it. over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, behold, I, and now this is God speaking here, he's quoting the Old Testament, but this is Paul's letter to the Romans, and he's quoting the Old Testament, and when that was written, it was basically God speaking, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And so you may think there's almost two things there, but guess who the stone of stumbling is? Guess who the rock of offense is? That's our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is a stone of stumbling to many out there. And he is a rock of offense. There are many out there that are just absolutely, and they call themselves Christians, and they go to church every Sunday, and they're offended at the word of Jesus Christ. And they don't even realize it. They worship a false God that is just love, love, love. Now, granted, God is a God of love, but he's a God of many other things. And that love can't be just all, you know, that we think about, you know.
Right.
And again, like we said earlier, the only way to draw near to God, to read his word, to hear his word, to get in and read it, read through the Old Testament, you know. He loved his people so much that he gave his son, you know. And I cannot, you know, I have sons. And I cannot fathom that amount of love.
Yeah.
That you have a creation that you know most of them are going to deny you. Most of them are going to just do what you tell them not to do. And they don't do what you tell them to do. And if they would just do what you have their best interest at heart, you know what's right and wrong for them, and if they would just do that, the blessings they would have, I told you my sister's here, and my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law has told a story one time that his son's, how old is Ryan? 26. When he was, about 18 or something, you know, I think my brother-in-law was having a few problems with him, like we all do with our teenagers, you know, getting them to do this and getting them to do that, and you know. And if I have the story right, you know, he said his son came to him one morning. He said, "You know, Dad, I've been looking at this pickup truck over here. What do you think about, you know, maybe you getting that pickup truck for me?" And he said, "You know, son," he said, "you don't know all the things I want to do for you, but you don't do the things I tell you to do. You're not minding. You don't do the things I'm telling you to do." And he said, "You know, son, you have no idea the blessings and the things I want to do for you, but you've got to do what I tell you to do."
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law said it hit him in the head like a ton of bricks.
Same thing, Jesus.
And isn't that what God tells us?
Yeah.
He says the blessings are unimaginable if you'll just follow my way. Do what I say. Turn away from the world. You know, it's not that we've got to be hermits and live in the mountain and never talk to anybody. It's not that at all. But seek first the kingdom.
Yeah.
And how are you going to know how to do that if you don't read the word? So we've done this before, I put this on this 22nd day of October. I challenge you fathers that are out there and you husbands that are out there that might be listening in, or even if you listen into the archive sometime. However much you read the Bible, read more of it. You know, take another, if it's only 5 minutes a day to start, take another 5 minutes a day to open the Bible. If you got it on your computer, open it on your computer and read some of it. It doesn't matter where it's at. If it's in Genesis or Isaiah or Revelation, it does not matter anywhere. But read more of the Word.
Yeah, amen.
And what that'll do is that will draw you nearer to God, and it'll draw God nearer to you.
Yeah, that brings something to mind. There's a new movie out, Courageous. You know, of course, it's Hollywoodized, but there's a great message in there to fathers of their responsibility to their children, to their sons. And I tell you what, if you walk out of there without watery eyes, then you better pray God softens your heart, because there's quite a message there. I mean, like I said, there's things that I don't agree with, obviously, but the basic gist of it is proclaiming Jesus Christ, and that fathers have a responsibility to their, not only their sons and daughters, but to their entire family,
right,
with Christ as their head, to be the patriarch, to be the man, the strong man. man that God says in the Bible, so that you aren't plundered by our enemies, the Assyrians.
Right.
But, you know, it all comes down to one thing. We didn't do what God told us. As Israelites, God says, wipe them out. Kill them all. We thought we knew better.
Right.
And now we pay that price. Because just like the parasites, they multiply fast. And they've multiplied. And they continue to multiply. But until we turn our hearts back to God, they will continue to multiply. The alien will go higher and higher, and we'll go lower and lower. I mean, God doesn't lie.
And my guess is, way back then, they did that, what they called love. You know,
exactly.
They didn't destroy them all because they were so full of love.
But yeah, it makes you wonder if they had a false prophet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they had a bunch of those running in the land.
Right. And it's, you know, many people just don't understand that way of thinking, John, unfortunately. You know, they don't. But, you know, if you have sheep, if you heard our pastor's message here from, oh, it was just last year, he shoots dogs. And he was talking about our neighbor right up the road. And our neighbor shoots dogs. If a dog comes running up on his place, the man shoots him. And you think, oh, how terrible, he must hate dogs. No, he has a couple dogs of his own. He does not hate dogs, but the man has a few goats. And he has baby goats. And we've seen them up. They're upside the road. You see them kind of. They get out of the fence, and they're the cutest little thing. And he raises them. His grandchildren have them for 4-H projects and things like that. And guess what? When dogs come running up, guess what dogs do? Dogs kill his animals.
Yeah.
And so it's not
he
that
protects
he,
them.
It's not that he hates dogs. Okay? He hates what the dogs do if they come in and kill his animals. And if you've got a dog and it's on your property and you're taking care of it, he doesn't care about that dog. But if it comes over and starts messing with his little goats, little lambs, whatever it is that he has there, he's going to protect his flock.
Yeah.
So do you see what we're saying here? You know, it's the same way. If you love your children, and as parents we do, well, you would hate anybody or anything, you should, that would want to do them harm. Okay? It's like homosexuals. So many churches accept it today. Well, guess what? Homosexuality is an abomination before God. It was in the Old Testament. It is today on October 22nd, 2011. And sinners, and if you're a homosexual, you are sinning before God, and sinners will not enter into the congregation.
Yeah.
And so, guess what? Homosexuals don't reproduce. You know, I've got 9 children. I understand about reproduction. The Bible talks about one husband, one wife. You come together, you get married, you have children. That's how you have posterity. That's how you reproduce. That is ordained by God. You know, homosexuals, queers, filthy faggots have to recruit. And they want to recruit your children and my children and your children, John, and your children, Kyle, and your children out there. They want to recruit them to hell. And that's
yep.
just one part of it, you know. That's just one piece of the Word. But if you don't read the Word, how do you know that? You don't know that. And so you
Amen.
Have to read the Word. You have to do that. I wanted to make one quick thing, guys. We've only got about 5 more minutes. But, again, in this Newsletter 9, we offered on the inside front cover, and we're going to do it again in Newsletter 10. And it's called, because Thanksgiving is coming up, it's called The True Thanksgiving Story. And this is a treatise that our pastor put together many years ago. And so many people don't understand the true story of Thanksgiving. They have it pictured in their mind that, you know, these stupid white pilgrims were there and didn't know how to grow anything. And just, man, if it weren't for those noble red men Indians, that we wouldn't even be here today. And so we've got a small treatise called Thanksgiving, The True Story. And we put together a little Thanksgiving packet that includes that. And if you don't have these, we just want to, you know, let you know we have them available. But what it includes is the pastor's done at least 3, and we're including 3 CDs that the pastor did on Thanksgiving. The first one is number 104, and he started with number 101, so this is back from the very beginning, and it's called Thanksgiving in America. We also include number 435, which is biblical and historical thoughts on Thanksgiving. And number 717, Thanksgiving, the True Story. And that CD also includes a treatise with that basically down in print form. And then we have a couple of books also that, that tie right in with the true Thanksgiving story. One is by the late Pastor Earl Jones called Christians Before Columbus. Christians Before Columbus. And then also The Light and the Glory. And we have The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. And then also we have a new book, The Light and the Glory for Young Readers, for children. And so we've got this true Thanksgiving packet. It's you know, more like $60 worth of stuff. We do have it available for a $40 donation if you'd like to have it. We're trying to advertise it early enough so that you can get it in. And then when you do celebrate Thanksgiving, which is a Christian, one of the few Christian holidays we have still, but when you do celebrate Thanksgiving, this packet will be able to give you a little more true, a few more truths and true information on the true Thanksgiving story. And just how Christian those first ones were, and why they had Thanksgiving. So anyway, if you don't have those, The Light and the Glory, Christians Before Columbus, and this Thanksgiving, the True Story, we just wanted to put that out and encourage you to order that so that you can have the truths about Thanksgiving. So, well, man, if you guys have something to wrap up with, we've got another couple minutes, and then we're just out of time this morning.
I was just looking at John 3, verse 2. This is what I would pray for our remnant, I guess. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. So I think in these end times, it's God expects us to preach the gospel, to preach the truth. And when you get those opportunities, sometimes it may cost you some time, may cost you some money. But I think God expects us to take the time to try to teach the truth to our brethren.
Amen. Amen.
I think that's a pretty good note to go out on.
All right. Well, men, thank you for joining us.
I can't add to that.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We thank you for joining us out there. You know, our saying here, real men don't go to church, but we invite you real men to come to church with us tomorrow.
Amen.
Go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Start at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 o'clock Central, noon Eastern. You get to sleep in on the East Coast if you want to join us for church. And so we do invite you to church there tomorrow. Well, men, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
Thank you.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. keep on moving.